Wish to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. As it says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We're thankful for that tonight. The blood that he shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Appreciated that devotional. Is Christ first in my life? Is Christ first in your life? We're here for a special occasion tonight in the church. It's a joyous occasion. It's an adding to the church. And as I think of that as being a growing in the church, as we think of growing, the message I have felt the Lord calling me to, the title simply is a question. Am I growing spiritually? You can turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As I consider this message, I'd like to start out by saying that I feel the burden of this message is to help us to grow in our Christian lives. We tend to sometimes get into a routine. Sometimes we become lukewarm in our Christian lives. But God doesn't settle for lukewarm. He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. And that's a sobering thought. Because I think we all can think of times where we become lukewarm, ways that we've become lukewarm. And if we don't want to be lukewarm, we have to be growing spiritually. God wants us to be alive. Let's read this verse. It's going to be kind of a theme verse of our message. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. When a baby is born into this world, there's two fundamental things that it knows how to do. Number one, it knows how to cry out when it senses a need. And number two, it knows how to drink in that life-giving milk. If it wouldn't know how to cry, we wouldn't know when to feed it. And if it wouldn't know how to drink, it wouldn't grow or even survive. You know, that's how it is with us in our spiritual lives. We need to have a desire to grow for that life-giving milk. Sometimes a baby's desire is so strong. You put a bottle to its mouth and it just starts drinking in so fast it almost chokes. Is that how my desire is? Do I have that kind of desire to grow spiritually? How is it in my life, in my spiritual life? How is it in your spiritual life? Spiritual growth starts with a good spiritual desire. Let's read Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you have that kind of thirst for God? As a deer longs for a drink of water, it'll go out of its way to get to water when it really senses that need. You know, when we're outside working in the hot sun and your throat is dried up and you feel like you just can't go on without a drink, that thirst or that craving for water is so strong that you can't think about anything else. Is this how your soul longs after God? In verse 4 it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. It talks about a love for God's house. Turn back a few chapters to Psalm 84. I think we'll read the whole chapter. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go forth, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in the Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield. And look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. What a blessing to be able to gather as a body of believers, the Church of Jesus Christ. And to the class, what a blessing to be able to be a part of this, the body of Christ, the Church. I had to think, why did you come to church this evening? Sunday morning, week after week. Why do you go to church Sunday mornings? Do you come to learn, to grow, and be fed? Do you have a love and desire for God's house? Or did you come just because everyone expected you to? Or mom and dad said you have to? Think about that. We need to have a love and desire for God's house. Do you have a desire to support the church by attending and participating in not just Sunday morning services, but Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening services, midweek prayer meetings, singing at the nursing homes, accountability meetings? It's important to be faithful in supporting the church. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's a promise from God. Thinking of spiritual growth, it's important that we have good spiritual food if we're going to grow spiritually. Our physical bodies cannot survive and be healthy without good food, in the same way it is to our spiritual bodies. We will die spiritually if we don't get nourishment from good food. I remember a minister in my childhood years that would ask the question often, "On what does your mind and spirit feed? What are you feeding on? Where do you go for good spiritual food? The music that you listen to, the books that you read." You know, the best source of good spiritual food is right here in God's Word. Let's always remember that. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, it says, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Our spiritual food is as or more important than our physical food. And what does your mind and spirit feed? Psalm 119, verse 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." In Jeremiah 15, 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Does God's word taste good to you? When I was a boy, I remember Mom would often, and we still do this today, a Sunday dinner, and often there was a candy dish sitting in the middle of the table. And we all knew that we had to eat our other food first before we could get into the candy, but I can still see it today yet with our children. The longing glances at the candy dish. Do you have a desire like a child does for candy, for God's word? Think about that. It's important that we have a good desire for good spiritual food. How is your devotional life? In order to feed on God's word, we need to read it. Study it. Meditate on it every day. Especially to the class and to all the youth. Start that right from the beginning of your Christian lives. I think that's a very important foundation. Develop a good devotional life. In the early morning is when I like to do this, but it may be better for you in the middle of the day, at lunchtime, or in the evening maybe. It doesn't matter when you do it, but more important is that you take the time to do it every day. Read God's word and pray. Jesus gives us an example of this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." We can't expect to grow spiritually if we don't take the time to read God's word and communicate with him in prayer. God will often speak to us and give us direction as we pour out our hearts in prayer to him. Am I growing spiritually? I would like to add that we can't expect to the parents, we can't expect our youth to grow spiritually either if we don't get them to develop this devotional life. Get them involved in the work of the church. Provide them with good devotional material and help them to develop a personal prayer life. I think that's very important. Also, I think it's important that we get our youth involved in church outreach activities and include it in our accountability programs. Set up our young brothers and sisters' devices with accountability reports going to their moms and dads. I think that's important. It's important for the youth boys to hear their dad share struggles and concerns or victories in his life. And also for the youth girls, get involved in sewing circles or times of sisters sharing together. I think that's a fundamental part of spiritual growth. There are many different aspects of spiritual growth that we can find in the Bible. I'd like to look at a few of them. I'm just going to read a few verses. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, it talks about spiritual growth and fruitfulness. "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." The little seeds that we sow for Christ can grow into fruits of righteousness. And it helps us to grow spiritually when we talk to others about Jesus. Share our experiences. Ephesians 4:15 talks about spiritual growth into Christ, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 talks about spiritual growth in love. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Spiritual growth in love. Hebrews 6:1 talks about spiritual growth unto perfection. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We'll talk about that a little more later. 1 Peter 2:2 again talks about spiritual growth through the Word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Let's read 2 Peter 1. Verses 5-8. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talks about spiritual growth by adding layers upon layers. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Building on one thing on to the next. Layers upon layers. Second Peter 3:18 talks about spiritual growth and grace and knowledge. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We do this by having a personal relationship with him. It's how we can grow in grace and knowledge. Am I growing spiritually? Thinking of growing spiritually, I think of a spiritual development that needs to take place. Let's read Hebrews 5. Verse 11. Hebrews 5. Verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon you, upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's a lot of truths in that chapter. Sometimes it's hard to understand some of those things, but I guess my thought is in a nutshell. It's important that we understand and believe the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. We know that we were sinners, condemned to die, and that Christ died for our sins, and that he rose again from the dead and will someday judge the world, the whole world. But we can't keep going back into sin so that Christ can redeem us again. And so on. We need to grow and develop spiritually. We can't remain babies and live on milk our whole lives, as it says in chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. We need to go on from the milk, or from the basic principles to the meat. I had to think of a building project that always starts with a good foundation. But the builder doesn't just stay at the foundation level. He moves on to the floor, to the walls, the roof, the interior and exterior finishings, and so on until it is a complete building. The foundation is still there, and it's still a very fundamental part of the building. And there are times when we may have to go back to the basic principles. But in verses 13 to 20, it talks about God's promises being an anchor for the soul. We need to keep on growing, and having that anchor is still there, but growing and developing spiritually so that we can attain spiritual maturity. And that's the next thing I would like to consider. How do we attain spiritual maturity? I have 5 points to look at as we consider this. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. As we become mature and grow spiritually, we put away childish things. Number two, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. We become spiritually mature by cultivating our understanding. Again, reading God's word, thinking about it, meditating on it. Ephesians 4:13, number 3. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Spiritual maturity comes by striving after the Christ ideal or Christ example. It involves putting others' needs ahead of our own and giving up ourselves to God's will. Number 4, Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Spiritual maturity is gained by partaking of the deeper truths of the gospel. We need to have a vision and build convictions. We need to have our senses exercised to discern right from wrong. Number 5, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. We become spiritually mature by overcoming temptation. Every time we overcome temptation, we become stronger. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin, but each victory will help you some other to win. Let's remember that. In conclusion, I'd like to read a couple verses from the song, I Love You, Lord Jesus. Verse 1, it says, Lord, light the great fires of your love in my soul. O kindle these burnings divine, and let your great spirit flow freely within to witness that Jesus is mine. O fill me, verse 2, O fill me and use me and bless me, I pray, and grace all my life with your love, that I may breathe humbly and boldly the truth that blazes your glory above. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you today. I love you in spirit and mind. My body is yours for anything, Lord. I'm satisfied now in your love. My prayer is that for you as a class and for all of us, that we would have the fires of God's love in our hearts, in our soul. That His Spirit can flow freely within us. That we would be able to give up ourselves daily, take up our cross and follow Him. I'd like to encourage each of you in the class also to maintain a good appetite. Keep striving to grow spiritually. Because if we aren't growing spiritually, we're going to die spiritually. And that goes for each one of us. I'm thankful that the church is growing. And I'm thankful for this joyous occasion. May God bless you all.